Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you to our study today. We're going back into our study of judgment and judging, the letter J in the ABCs, the third letter of J, third lesson of the letter J, that is. And you're going to find that in the ABCs of Christian Growth as I'm in the Scriptures, and the Lord gives me a topic or a topic to study or something like that, and I study it out and write these lessons out. You'll find that the same letter is being inserted in to one of the letters. Like, for instance, A, I think it has three lessons, and this one here has three, and some of them only have one. But all the way through from A to Z, there are lessons all the way through, and it's completed that way, but there are some inserted. So don't let that get you mixed up or set aside in any way. That's just making the lessons a lot more lessons, and we learn quite a bit more. So here we go. I thank you for joining. I thank you for honoring the Lord and sitting down on purpose, opening your Bible, and giving God the Holy Ghost the authority in your life to teach you and humbling yourself before the Lord and doing that. And thank you for joining in with us. Hopefully, we'll all learn something today, and I think we will. We're talking about judgment and judging. The last topic that we were on in the lesson was Christian judgment and discernment. Christian judgment. Now, as we said before, there are a lot of things that apply to the world. Everything applies to the world and the worldly, and when we're talking about that, we're talking about people that are not saved, the unsaved. All of this stuff about judging and judgment and judging applies to the unsaved also. But there are some things that are specifically written for the Christian, and mostly being in the Pauline epistles, and we can apply much of the other things that we have learned spiritually to ourselves. And when you're willing and you have a willing mind and you want to be pleasing before the Lord, none of this stuff offends you. I mean, we see where, you know, Lord, I could do a lot better in this area right here and that sort of thing, where God the Holy Ghost says we need to put just a little bit more effort into this thing, Thurman. And I say, yes, sir, I do. And I need your help to do it, Lord. And I'll try. I'll do all I can. And that's a constant effort in our walk as we wait on the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. Now, getting into our lesson today, Christian judgment and discernment. The first thing that we talked about and went over there is that a Christian is. Now, remember when listen to the is's and is nots as we go through these. A Christian is to judge things in his own life and in the lives of others. I hope that you went back over the scriptures that I gave you, and even more. And I'm sure that you did, and that you read those scriptures, and it tells us very plainly that Paul said for us to judge things, and not just things, and not just events, but people. And what they have, for instance, the man that was in the Corinthian church that had committed that thing, Paul nailed him down, and he didn't say judge the thing that judged the sin. He said judge the sinner and put him out of the church. He didn't say put the sin out of the church. That was supposed to have been out to begin with. He said put the sinner out. He said, put him out, but don't count him as an unsaved man. Count him as a brother. And the idea is that if he's not going to repent and he's not sorry for what he done, put him out, then that and let the devil have him for the destruction of the flesh. Now, that's the most updated that we have. That's the Pauline epistle. Now, that's not every circumstance. That was that one. But there are many like that. If Paul was to hear about some of the things that go on in some of these churches in this century, He'd probably go shave his head and go to the temple. But there's a lot of things that need to be put out of the church, and I'm not just talking in, and many folks that need to be put out until they get things right with the Lord. And the idea about Christian judgment and discernment, and we're going to get into that, is not just love. It's to get the person that is being judged to deal with the Lord. To deal with the Lord. A Christian is to judge things in his own life and in the lives of others. And as long as we're judging things in our own lives, it's not going to be very comfortable judging others. But the Bible says that what does it say? It says, rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. You see? And now, nobody's going to ever enjoy, and it's not the purpose of it. Nobody's ever going to enjoy having their wrongs nailed down and picked out. But some of the people that I appreciate the very most in my life are the ones that nailed down the things that needed to be corrected in my life and that I needed to correct and told me about it. But told me about it, and it seemed like it would go the opposite way. It seemed like you'd get angry and that they'd just bust everything up, but that's not what it does. When you tell them the way that, as a Christian brother, and you tell them and you judge their sin and you tell them about it, the Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. Yeah. Yeah. And when you rebuke a brother, he'll love you for it. He might not love it that he's been rebuked, but God the Holy Ghost will say, see there, and he'll take care of that thing. And majority of the time, it'll turn out to the good. He'll get it right with the Lord. He'll get it right with his with whatever the problem is and straighten it up, and everything will be all right. But a Christian is to judge things in his own life. And as long as we're doing that first and we're judging our own lives before the Lord, that we're doing the things that are pleasing to the Lord, and we're making sure that our heart is in such a way to where we're humbling ourselves before the Lord, and we're not being a bunch of stinking fakes in our life, but we are sincere as we know how to be before the Lord, and we mean it, then we will judge the right and proper way, and with the right words. God the Holy Ghost will be able to lead us. So, a Christian is to judge things in his own life and the things of others. Now, the other thing that we talked about last lesson was that a Christian is not to judge a brother as unsaved if that brother disagrees with him on minor doctrinal points of practice. Remember, we talked about cutting your hair and doing this and doing that. Well, I don't think you ought to go buy stuff in stores that sell beer, and just all these things that go on like that, and that the unsaved like to make big deals about. Well, the Lord tells us, don't make a big deal about it. I mean, if God didn't want us going in and buying groceries in a store that sold beer, or he didn't want us eating meat that was sold at the shambles and offered to devils and things like that, he could have said that stuff specifically in his word and laid it out just as strong as he wanted to, without where there would not be any question about it at all. The way we are to approach God's word is that it's correct, that it's right all the time, and that if the Lord does not specifically tell us something, yea or nay, we're to study the scriptures and look for the evidence of what the Lord's mind, and to pray of what the Lord's mind might be on that matter. And if we can't find it then we are to do the thing. We're to make sure that we are doing things in front of our brothers and sisters that will not trip their walk with the Lord. If it's bothering somebody else, then you are to, whether you think it's right or wrong, or whether you think it's okay to do, you're not to do it if it's going to cause a brother to be offended because he thinks that you're sinning when you do it, because it's going to make him sin. And and it's going to offend his conscience, and he is, the devil's going to use that. The enemy, you know, he's going to step in. He's going to use that thing. So we are not to judge a brother as unsaved. In other words, well, you must not be saved. That's not the thing. Christians have the ability to do anything that an unsaved man on this planet can do and be just as wicked. You still have that Adamic nature upon you and the flesh. And you're in that flesh, and that flesh can do anything anybody else's flesh can do and willing to do it. The only thing holding your flesh back is God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, and you are a willing servant obeying the Lord and walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh and crucifying that flesh daily. Otherwise, your flesh would take off like a racehorse and just chew up everything that's wicked in this world. It sure would. Don't you kid yourself, brother. Don't you kid yourself. But we're not to judge a brother about minor practices in the Christian walk. We're to lead them with wisdom and teach them with wisdom and mostly from the Word of God. God says this, brother, and this is why I do this, or this is why I do not do this, and then show him the Scriptures, why your opinion or why your belief is the way it is, and back it up with God's Word and do it as gently and as kindly as possible. But we're not to say, well, you must not be saved. You smoke them cigarettes, you must not be saved. That's just not the thing to do. That's not the thing to do. And the Scripture tells us don't do that. Don't offend a brother if it's not necessary. And if you do have to offend somebody, and we do, the Lord said offenses will come. There's going to be people that are offended, and some offenses are necessary, and some offenses are not necessary. And that's the way we ought to look at it. Now, continuing on in our study, what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about Christian judgment and discernment. Now, the third thing that we want to establish is that a Christian is not to judge anything hastily, in a hurry. Now, that makes plenty of sense, don't it? I mean, I can think of many times in my life to where if I'd have just kept my big mouth shut and sat back and thought about that thing for a little bit, I wouldn't have got neck deep up into it before I found out I was wrong. You see, a Christian is not to judge anything hastily. Now, I remember when we was talking about human judgment, said that we're not to judge anything at all if it's not any of our business. If it's not any of our business, we're not to cast judgment upon it at all. We're not, and if we can stand, if we can handle it or control it, we're not even to have an opinion about it. It's kind of like a preacher that I have a lot of respect for, one of my teachers the Lord gave me. He's gone to be with the Lord now, but somebody walked up and said to him, "Brother Hiles, how you doing today?" He said, "Well, I don't know how I'm doing." He said, "Well, what do you mean you don't know how you're doing?" He said, "I don't think about myself." He said, "I don't esteem myself." And the subject was esteeming. I don't have high esteem of myself, and I don't have low esteem of myself. I do not esteem myself at all. I don't think about me. I think about others. You're not to have high esteem of yourself, think that you're somebody and better than everybody else, and you're not to have low esteem to where you always walk around with your tail between your legs and just ain't worth nothing to nobody. But you're not to think about yourself at all, you see. Well, when it comes to judging, that's a pretty good philosophy to go by. Don't judge at all if you don't have to judge. Don't be a judge if you don't have to be a judge. Don't judge something. Don't have an opinion on it. There's probably, what would you say, 8 out of 10 times it wasn't even necessary for you to be involved in anything that had to do with opinion or judging, you know? And when people used to mind their own business in this world, and the government and society wasn't set up to tattletale on everybody, and all that sort of garbage and muck and luck and all that junk that goes on, people minded their own business, and you didn't have to cast an opinion or cast a judgment upon anything. Matter of fact, you could get through the whole day without having to decide whether something was right or wrong. Now, that's going to be something when we get to heaven, isn't it? That we're not even going to have to think whether something's right or wrong, because we're going to have a mind of Christ. We're not going to be able to even think in a sinful way. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Them are the things that Christ thought like. And those are the things that we're going to consistently think like, and that we're supposed to be practicing now. Thinking on these things. Truth. Honesty. Virtuous things. Lovely things. You know, pure things. And stuff like that. But you take a walk down the street and walk half a mile one way and a half a mile back, there's going to be something that's going to cause you to have to correct your mind, to have to safeguard your mind and your thinking today. And that's the way it is. But we're not to judge things hastily. Don't blabbity blab out of your mouth something right away. You know, when a whole bunch of folks are standing around, not a whole bunch, but just say 8 or 10 people standing around, all of your friends, and you're just standing around, you're talking, and one person's saying this, and that person's saying that, and this old person over here will say something, this person will comment on it, and this person over here will say something. And there's this one person always that's just standing there and listening, and ain't saying a word about nothing, just sitting there listening. And just listening and listening and listening. And everybody's talking and everybody's talking and everybody's talking. And then all of a sudden, when it gets down to the end, to where everybody's just about said everything that needs to be said and there's a quiet moment, somebody will always, 9 out of 10 times, look over at the person that's hushed up and been the quietest and say, well, what do you think? Isn't that a funny thing? That's a funny thing, isn't it? That the quietest person and the one that does not cast judgment and the one that does not have an opinion and the one that does not judge hastily is the very one that you want to hear from. That's something. That's something. But Christians are not to judge anything hastily. What's the scripture say? Well, in Proverbs chapter 25, let's read it. Chapter 25 and verse 8, the Bible says, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. That ever happened to you? It's happened to me. I confess it's happened to me. I can't remember right off the bat any of them. I'd tell you about them. Maybe I would. But yeah, I know for a fact that I've run off at the mouth before and let my mouth just blubbity blabbity blab, and before I knew what I was talking about, or before I knew what I should and shouldn't judge or have an opinion about or this, that, and the other. And when it's all over with, I was wrong, and I was wrong for making a judgment, and I walk away with my tail between my legs, shamed, because I flew off the handle. Don't judge anything hastily. We need to practice not judging at all to begin with, but if we have to judge, take time in judging. Take time. That's wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5 says, therefore, judge nothing before the time. And even if it comes until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. Said, if you can get away with it, don't judge till the Lord comes. But it says, don't judge anything before the time. If you have to judge something, make sure it's the time that it needs to be judged. Don't judge anything hastily. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 through 8 says this, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven, under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Don't get any plainer than that, does it? And it's correct. It's absolutely right. Everything that just got through saying, there is a time for it. There's a time for it. It's not like a predestinated time, that a time to keep something. Well, that was meant to be a time to lose something. No, that was meant to be not predestinated time, but just that there is a time for these things to happen. There's a time for them. And it is. And it is. In eternity, there is no time. There is no time. We're the only ones that live in time. So, a Christian is not to judge anything hastily. Take your time. Take your time. Now, what else? A Christian is not to judge anything when not required. And we talked about that when we was talking about human judgment. If he doesn't have to. If at all possible and you do not have to judge anything, don't judge it. Don't judge it. Now that'd be a wonderful thing to be happening in the world right now, wouldn't it? To be able to walk down the sidewalk and just live your life freely and breathe the air and say hey to somebody and have an opinion and this, that, and the other without worrying about somebody judging you, because everybody minds their own business and they don't judge unless it's absolutely possible or absolutely necessary, excuse me. Luke chapter 12 and verse 13 and 14 says this, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance unto me. And he, Jesus, said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? This is the one time in Scripture that Jesus shows what he thought about judgment in a certain circumstance. This man asked the Lord, said, my brother got an inheritance, and apparently I guess he didn't get it, or he spent his, or whatever it happened, but his brother got the inheritance, and he asked the Lord to come and use his authority and command his brother to give him, to divide the inheritance with him. And you know what Jesus told him? He said, man, I'm not your judge. That's none of my business. Who made me a judge or a divider over you? And that is all he said to him. After he said that and gave him that answer, he turned from him and didn't address it ever again. He did not judge it whatsoever and even told him, that's not my business. That's the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ did that. So what does he show us in that? That there's some things in our lives that are not our business. Did the Lord care about what this man said, about whether his brother was keeping and cheating him, or whether this man wanted half the inheritance, or whether his brother was doing wrong or anything like that, the Lord didn't address it. He didn't get involved. He didn't get involved at all. He said, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" And that was it, man. He didn't say nothing else. A Christian is not to judge anything when not required. Now, that's not what that What Iron Monster in your living room is going to teach you. That television is going to teach you to judge everything and everybody and give you some subjects to think about while you're sitting there, while it's programming you. You better be careful about that thing. You don't think that television, that's why it's called programming. It programs your thinking and makes you think a certain way. You better be careful about that thing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 11, "And that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands." Well, is that a suggestion? No. Well, wait a minute. Let me read the rest of it. "As we commanded you, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we have commanded you." Who made me a judge or a divider over you, man? And that's what the Lord said. It's not my business. I'm sorry. I got nothing to do with that. That's the right thing to do. That's not what the world teaches. The world's teaching tattletale. Go tattletale. That's what they're teaching your kids in school, tattletale on one another. Tell them. If mommy and daddy give you a whooping, tell them. Tell on them. I've heard my nieces and nephews say that to my parents. "Yeah, you give me a whooping, I'll call the police on you." I told them, "You better not call the police on my mama and daddy." And their eyes rolled back in their head. But, yeah. This generation X and Y and W and whatever generations they are, they're being taught to tattletale and to tell everybody on everything instead of minding their own business like the Bible teaches and like the Lord said about judging. They're all mixed up about that thing. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 17, Proverbs 26, 17, "He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears." Have you ever grabbed a dog, both of a dog's ears and held on to them? What's that dog do? He tries to bite one of your hands. Whichever hand you let go of is going to get it. The Bible says that's kind of like walking down the street and messing with stuff, messing with a problem that doesn't belong to you. "He that passeth by and meddleth," you get yourself involved in it, you meddle with it. "He that passeth by," you're walking by some strife. You're walking by and there's some trouble there. "He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears." You're going to get it on one hand. And that's true. Have you ever got involved in somebody else's business that wasn't your business, that didn't belong to you, belongeth not to him, and you meddled in it just to be meddling in it, and you ended up being the one that got bit? Yeah. I think we've all been through that, haven't we? A Christian is not to judge anything when not required, if he doesn't have to. Mind your own business. Study to be quiet and do your own business. And don't meddle in other people's strife and other people's problems. There's never going to be a time on this earth that somebody ain't got a problem going on. And we don't have to know about every single one of them or have an opinion about them. We live better lives and a lot more peaceful and be a lot more content with the things that we have and be able to serve the Lord a lot better and without worries and aggravation and everything else if we wasn't in everybody else's business all the time and thinking that we have to judge something and we got an opinion in it and we this and we that. No, we nothing. We need to mind our own business and stay out of other people's business and not judge anything if we don't have to. Now, that's Bible. That's Scripture. That's what God says. Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Jesus absolutely refused to have anything to do with that. It's not my business. That's a good example, isn't it? That's a good example. So the Lord gives us permission to stay out of people's business and to not make everything in this world our problem to where we have to comment on it or judge it or have an opinion about it or whatever. We don't have to. What else? Well, another thing about Christian judgment and discernment is that a Christian is not to judge unmercifully. Unmercifully. One thing about a Christian is that there's supposed to be an underlying mercy about us in our heart that we always want people to come out better after it's all over with. We want people to be all right. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Okay? A Christian is not to judge unmercifully. Now, that does not mean that we're to let people get away with doing wrong or sinning or hurting somebody else or hurting one of our family members and have mercy on them and blah-bitty-blah-bitty-blah. There's a thing in society now that you just don't love if there's no mercy, even when somebody chops somebody else up with an axe. There are times where their mercy is not in the scenario. There is no mercy. It's already been judged. It's already been condemned. It's already been sentenced, carried out. No mercy. Yeah. In the old days, or in the Old Testament, excuse me, which is still valid, by the way, and it will come back into, it will, and during the tribulation, that's what's going to be the law, is the Old Testament. And that's what the state of Israel is going to be going by, is back up under the law. But under the law, if a son was to do something, was to be a drunkard or worthless or no good or this, that, and the other, and the parents have gave him whoopings and tried to take care of the problem, and it just absolutely won't listen to his mother and father. His father's supposed to take hold of one of his hands. His mother's supposed to take hold of another hand. And they're to drag him to the judges and tell him, this boy ain't worth nothing. He won't listen to us. He's a bad boy. And he just ain't going to straighten up. And they're to judge that thing, take him out there, and the parents are to be the first one to throw a stone at him. And they're to stone him and kill him. No mercy. Read it. Aren't you glad we ain't under that one, huh? But the world says, if somebody's in trouble and they've set your store on fire and knocked your front windows out and rampaged your store and stole everything that's in there, that you're supposed to have mercy on them, no matter what. If somebody breaks into your house and comes in with a gun, busts your door down, and comes in with a gun, and you're to have mercy on him, and he's supposed to be shooting first before you absolutely have to shoot back. But he broke into your house, You see, that's the way the world thinks, and that's nonsense. There is a time where mercy goes out the door. But in a Christian heart and spiritually, we are to have an underlying mercy, and we're talking about Christians. We're to have an underlying mercy to where we want everybody to be all right in the end and be right with the Lord. That's mercy. Is if at all possible, we want them to be all right. But some people are not going to be all right. They're going to push it and push it and push it until mercy is not valid anymore. Even the Lord says, time's running out. Hell is right on the other side of your breath. If you suck up one more breath and you can't get another one, and you go into eternity as a sinner and have to pay for your sins, you're going to open your eyes in hell, the Bible says. That's where mercy stops. So see, we have to understand what this mercy is. Mercy is God's kind of mercy. Mercy is, if there's any inkling, God is not willing that any should perish. Are people going to perish? Have people perished? Absolutely. The Bible says hell is full, and it has expanded itself to receive thee at thy coming. Or hell is not full, that is. But there's a lot of people in hell. And there's some people or some beings that the Lord's never going to forgive, and that they have a destiny coming. They have a judgment coming, and they know that judgment's coming, and it's going to come to pass. Speaking of the devil and the angels that are chained up in the bottomless pit, waiting judgment. No mercy. So don't get it twisted. Talking about God's mercy, that a Christian is not to judge unmercifully. You're supposed to have an underlying mercy, and if you have to judge and judgment has to be made, remember mercy. If at all possible, let that person have a chance to receive mercy. Don't pass unmerciful judgment immediately. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 7, the Bible says, "But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless." When Jesus came the first time, he said, I come to save. I come to give mercy. And that's what he did. He said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. In other words, you're going to get saved. You can get saved because of mercy and because it's a gift and not works, and it's not sacrifice. You cannot work to get saved. You have to receive it by mercy and by grace. God wants you to be saved. Do you want to be saved? If you do, God's going to give you that mercy and give you that grace. But you're not going to get it by works. But if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Mercy is not condemning innocent people. Did you get that? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 32 through 35, "Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servants, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." Now we know, of course, that has nothing to do with going to heaven or hell. The Lord's not going to put us in hell for not forgiving somebody. You go to hell for not receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Has nothing to do with having mercy or not having mercy. It's saying if you want mercy from the Lord, then you need to exercise mercy. It's not a works situation. It's a condition of the heart. It's a spiritual condition. We're to have an underlying merciful heart when possible. It should hurt us to have to judge somebody and condemn somebody. That's when you know the mercy's there, that it hurts you to judge somebody. It hurts you to rebuke somebody because it seems like there's no mercy. But there is mercy. And there's mercy in judgment also. There's mercy in condemnation. It's kind of a unique thing, isn't it? But a Christian is not to judge unmercifully. If at all possible, let there be mercy. Because if a person is repentant, and they're just that far from repenting, and all it would take would be just a little bit of mercy. Some people respond to mercy. Some people respond to rebuke. But the scriptures tell us, and there's so many different circumstances and so many different things about judgment and how it's carried out and all this, that, and the other, and just all the avenues that we've studied already having to do with judgment. Let there always be a underlying mercy in your judgment. I mean, if somebody's not going to receive mercy and their pride and their snoots up in the air and they just absolutely are not going, they're going to make you judge something. And kind of like a young fella. And he was just doing, as young boys do, getting into mischief and stuff like that, and ended up going to court for his first time. And when he went to court, the judge looked over the things, and he says, "Son," he says, "I can see where you're being led down the wrong path," he said, "but I want to help you out." He says, "Listen, let me do this for you, and let me do this for you, and let me do this for you, and I really want to help you out, and I want to be merciful to you. I don't want to get you started in a criminal record and all this, that, and the other." And the boy stood there with his arrogant voice, and he looked at the judge, and he said, "Just do what you got to do, Judge, and let me out of here. I don't care about your mercy, and I don't care about all this, that, and the other, and blabbity, blabbity, blab. Just do what you got to do and get me." He said, "Judge," said, "please listen to me now. Listen to me." He said, "Let me go." He said, "Just do what you got to do." And this is a young boy, you see. Well, time went by, and about 30, 40 years went by, and the same old judge was on the bench. And here come this fellow that was coming in for killing a bunch of people and had a stinking criminal record that was 200 miles long, and he had done something real, real bad. And he came in, and they brought him in. He had shackles on his feet and on his hands and around his waist and coming in, and they brought him in, and he stood before the judge, and the judge looked over all the stuff and things like that, and he was shaking his head and looking down at all these paper in his thick folder that he was opening up and turning the pages over and over and looking at them and stuff like that. And just, oh, my, oh, my. Well, the judge was a merciful judge. We seen that a long time ago when he tried to help that boy out, remember? Well, he's sitting there looking like this and stuff like that. And he says, "looking at all the circumstances and the mitigating evidence and all this, that, and the other, I have no other choice but to judge this." And just about that time, that fellow that was being judged, he looked up and he recognized something. And he looked at that judge and he said, "Hey, And that judge looks up and he said, I remember you. He says, you remember me? He said, I was a young boy about 30, 40 years ago and I came before you. Judge, do you remember me? And the judge looked at him and just stared at him and tried to identify him for a minute. And then all of a sudden it come to him. He says, yes, I do remember you. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. He said, well, judge, remember what you told me? He said that you wanted to have mercy on me. You wanted to give me mercy and that you wanted to help me out. He said, I want that help. Would you help me out, judge? Would you help me out? He said, the judge looked down. And he sat there and looked at the papers down and had his face down toward his desk. And then he looked up and he had tears in his eyes. And he looked at him and he said, mister, he said, back then I wanted to have mercy. He said, but now I have to be your judge. See, he still had the merciful heart. And there's a time for mercy. And there's a will for mercy. And there's a demand, there's a willingness for mercy. But there's a time when it turns into judgment. You see? So, a Christian is not to judge unmercifully. There's always to be that underlying mercy there. And if you can use it instead of judging. John chapter 7 and verse 24 says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And of course we know that we do judge by appearance. It's talking about not judging by appearance alone. Don't judge by appearance alone, but judge righteous judgment. And if you can have mercy, have mercy. A Christian is not to judge unmercifully. Good stuff, huh? And that's not all. Here's another one. What about a Christian? Well, a Christian is not to judge from an unscriptural standpoint. You're not to judge outside of the Scriptures. The Scriptures is what forms your opinions and your judgments is supposed to. That's why we need to know the Scriptures, isn't it? And that's why we're studying this right here. What saith the Lord? Well, what do you mean? In Exodus chapter 23 and verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You choose the right side all the time. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. You're not to take the majority. The majority most of the time is wrong. You're not to take the majority. If the majority's the wicked. And be an unrighteous witness. You are to be righteous about your judgment and scriptural about your judgment. Whenever you make a judgment, it is to be backed up by the principles and the doctrines of the Lord and of the Bible. If you were sitting and judging somebody in a jury and you went back to deliberate, and you're sitting around that table, and everybody in there judges one way, and you know if you judge that way, it would be unscriptural. You are to judge against everybody. A Christian is not to judge from an unscriptural standpoint. What saith the Lord? That's what drives our judgment. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 15, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. By the way, why would the Lord give us advice about judging, how to judge and how not to judge. And it says, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor, if we're not supposed to judge at all. You see how a bunch of malarkey that is, that the world with this judge, don't judge me stuff is about? It's a bunch of blobbity blab is what it is. We are to judge. But when we judge, we're to not judge from an unscriptural standpoint. The Bible says in the New Testament in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3 through 5, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. Did you get that? We are not to judge from an unscriptural standpoint. Not to judge. A Christian is not to judge when the scriptures tell us something different. When we have to judge, we are to judge before the Lord. Judge before the Lord. In Psalm chapter 82, let me read that to you. It says in verse 2, how long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. How long? The Lord said that when you accept the persons of the wicked, that you're judging unjustly. You're not making the right judgments according to godliness and according to scriptural judgment when you accept the person of the wicked. Well, they're all right. They're not hurting anybody. And I mean, what saith the Lord? What's the Lord say? We're talking about Christians' judgment now. The world's going to judge any old way that they feel like until it changes, and then everybody will judge that way, and then it'll change, and everybody will judge that way, and just whoever's got the majority, and whoever's got the most money, and it just goes in all kinds of blobbity-blob nonsense. But when it comes to a Christian, you have a final authority and a final standard to go by. And that's the Word of God. And a Christian is not to judge from an unscriptural standpoint. What else about Christian judgment and discernment? Well, a Christian is, now listen to this, a Christian is to judge and mark out and avoid preachers and teachers who do not believe the Word of God and who profess to believe it, but practically deny it by their preaching and teaching. If a preacher's standing before you or a teacher's standing before you and they're not teaching you the right things of the Word of God, the Bible says that you are to judge that and you are to mark out, you're to mark that person and you're to avoid them and their teaching and their preaching. Wow! Does the Bible teach that? Well, let's see if it does. In Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren. He's talking to the Christians, brethren. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. If you've been taught the Bible and you know God's Word and you've been taught the doctrines of the Word of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, and somebody's teaching you something different that causes division and offenses, the Bible says you're to mark them and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Get away from them. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to another word. If they're preaching something to you that's contrary to the Word of God, and it's starting to cause divisions and offenses, and it's not the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God, the Bible says to mark them. And it says also and goes on to tell us about them that they are not serving the Lord Jesus Christ, even though it may look like they are. But they're serving their own belly for what they can get out of it. And by good words and fair speeches. Oh, it's so eloquent and so, I just so much enjoy listening to that. I just always walk away feeling so good about myself. And good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. A Christian is to judge and mark out and avoid preachers and teachers who do not believe the Word of God, or who profess to believe it, but practically deny it by their preaching and teaching. Well, does it say that anywhere else? Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Listen to this. Brethren, be followers together of me. Who's talking? The Apostle Paul. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. There's some teachers and preachers out there that don't mean you any good and could care stinking less about what your spiritual condition is, or your spiritual walk, or your relationship with the Lord is. And the Bible says if you find them out, mark them and get away from them, because they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And it says whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. They're looking out for themselves, and whose glory is in their shame. They ought to be ashamed of what's going on with them, but they glory in it. And they mind earthly things. They're fleshly. They're worldly. Even though they look godly. Whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. And I understand that's kind of hard stuff right there. But it's not hard if you obey God's word. I mean, if God says it, just exercise it. And that's it. Period. And let God carry out all the things and the problems with that person. If you're under some kind of preaching that's causing divisions and offenses and it's preaching against the doctrine that the scriptures teach, get out of it. Don't even argue about it. The Lord don't tell you to go and argue with them. It says it brings up questions and all that kind of good words and fair speeches that causes a bunch of questions, divisions and offenses, and just question after question after question. And he didn't say go and debate the matter. He said get out of it. Get out of it. What else? Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 15. Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. The majority's not always right, folks. And many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And don't get no plainer than that, does it? Don't get no plainer than that. If you got a teacher or a preacher that's preaching the wrong thing and not preaching the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, or preaching out of that Bible and teaching you the things and teaching you truth, if somebody's teaching you truth, God the Holy Ghost will bear witness with it. God the Holy Ghost within you bears witness with the Word of God, with the true Word of God. The words of God, God the Holy Ghost says, that's the thing, that's it, that's it. And if you're having problems with that and the Lord's telling you something's wrong here, don't ignore it. Because you're being taught a bunch of flim-flam and you don't need that stuff. It's hard enough to live the Christian life bearing the cross and learning God's word and fighting the enemy to do it. But much less being under his crowd and their teaching. All right? And one last thing here. About Christian judgment and discernment. A Christian is to judge fruit quickly and accurately by the absolute standard of absolute truth, which is the Bible. Now, what are you talking about? A Christian is to judge fruit. What is fruit? It's the thing that is, that shows that a tree is indeed the tree that it claims to be. A Christian is to judge fruit quickly and accurately by the Word of God, by the absolute standard of the Word of God. Because a lot of times, the Bible says that a tree is not, let's just read the scripture and it'll explain it to us. I don't want to mix you up. John chapter 15 verse 3 says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. It's God's word that does the cleaning and the helping of us. It helps us and cleans us up, and it's God's words. That's Jesus speaking right there, his words that he's given us in written form that we have right here that we're studying. In 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 28 it says, and now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. The words are true. God's words are true. A Christian is to judge fruit quickly and accurately by God's word and absolute truth. We're to use God's word in every judgment. And we said that a while ago, but we're just stressing that now. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 24. And the woman said unto Elijah, listen to this, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth in truth. People can tell, and you can too, if the Word of God is in a man's mouth. God the Holy Ghost bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 through 5 says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. A Christian is to judge fruit quickly and accurately by the word of God. How can you judge fruit of somebody else, whether it's indeed genuine fruit of the Word of God and of a Christian, if you're not bearing the proper kind of fruit? All right, and one more verse here I want to read to you. A Christian is to judge fruit quickly and accurately by the absolute standard of the absolute truth, which is God's Word. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9 through 13, I wrote unto you in an epistle, this is the Apostle Paul, not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous. Or, did you hear what he said? Don't keep company with these people. You're not supposed to get along with everybody. We already talked about mercy. We're talking about Christian judgment and discernment, and what saith the Lord, and the absolute standard of the absolute truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Now, in other words, outside of the Christian realm. Do not ye judge them that are within, in the body of Christ? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. That's hard stuff. But we're talking about judgment and judging, and what Christian judgment is and discernment, and how to figure it out. What's the right thing to do and what's the wrong thing to do? Christian judgment. Now you see how the world says, well, you're not supposed to stay away from me. Let's all get together. And is that what the Bible says? Is that what God's Word says? And do they really care whether you keep company with them? They don't really want you around anyway. They just don't want you avoiding them because they are what the Bible calls them. Covetous, fornicators, idolaters, extortioners, drunkards, railers, and all that sort of business. So what have we talked about? We're talking about Christian judgment and discernment. A Christian is to judge things in his own life and in the lives of others. Yes, a Christian is not to judge a brother as unsaved if that brother disagrees with him on minor doctrinal points of practice. Fornication and extortion and railing and covetousness and all that sort of business is not minor. A Christian is not to judge anything hastily. A Christian is not to judge anything when not required or doesn't have to. Stay out of it. A Christian is not to judge unmercifully. A Christian is not to judge from an unscriptural standpoint. Remember that? And a Christian is not to judge, a Christian is to judge and mark out and avoid preachers and teachers that are fakes, that do not believe the Word of God, and they profess to believe it, but in their preaching and practicality, they show that they don't. They don't preach and teach the truth. And what else? A Christian is to judge fruit quickly and accurately by the absolute standard of the absolute truth, the Bible. Amen. Christian judgment and discernment. What's discernment? Being able to discern what is and what is not what's left and what's right, what's up and what's down, what's black and what's white. Discernment and judgment. Amen? All right, well, let me give you these scriptures, and we'll stop for the day. We've been just a little bit longer than usual, and I hope you're not mad at me about that, but it's a good study, isn't it? And we've seen the scriptures that teach us about being a Christian and judging. That's what Christians want to know. What am I supposed to do? What am I not supposed to do? And that's what the Bible teaches. And that's all we've talked about today is what God's Word says. Here's the scriptures. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. Luke chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 17. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Matthew chapter 12, verse 7. Matthew chapter 18, verse 32 through 35. John chapter 7, verse 24. Exodus chapter 23, verse 1 and 2. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 through 5. Psalm chapter 82, verse 2. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 15. John chapter 17, verse 17. John chapter 15, verse 3. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 28. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 through 5. And 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 through 13. Thank you for your patience and your willingness to study God's Word about Christian judgment and discernment with us today. Always enjoy studying the Word of God with you, and I appreciate you and admire you for minding the Lord and disciplining yourself to study His Word and believe it no matter what He says, because God is right and He is true and His Word is true altogether. It's pure. Every word of God is pure, the Bible says. If we don't understand something, we don't assume that God made a mistake. We assume that we haven't learned enough. You see that? But the things that we have learned, we nail it down and we keep it. Amen? And we believe it no matter what anybody else says. We believe the Lord and we believe God's Word. That's what we believe. Amen. All right, well, we'll stop right there. And this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. And again, I thank you for studying with us today. The Lord bless you. And keep food on your table and the money and the needs that you have and a roof over your head and give you heat and cool air when you need it and give you joy in your heart and hope. And that we do have is our hope. Amen. We don't hope we have hope. We have hope. Amen. Talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.